A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
Text appears over a coastal city, a Netflix comedy special. A dark-haired Southeast Asian couple drives in a classic red convertible with the top down. In the driver's seat, the woman wears a flower in her hair. The man wears a pale lei. A marquee reads, Hawaii, Ronnie Chang, live in Honolulu.
Ladies and gentlemen, make some noise for Ronnie Chang!
The dark-haired man, Ronnie, enters the theater and waves to a huge audience. The lei casts shadows on his short-sleeved, white, knitted button-down as it sways. He wears black slacks. He claps hands with audience members as he strolls toward the stage. The title appears, Ronnie Chang, Love to Hate It. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved. Ronnie steps onto the stage and raises his hands to the audience. A glass of water rests on the stool behind him. He shifts a mic stand away from center stage and takes the mic off it. He removes his lei and hangs it on the mic stand.
Thank you, Hawaii.
I'm turning 38, so I'm harvesting my wife's eggs this year. Harvesting my wife's eggs so that we can make embryos, so we can freeze the embryos, so that we do not have to have kids right now. Because kids are what you have when you've given up on your own hopes and dreams.
He points his thumb at himself.
I'm still trying here. I look at my friends who are my age, who have kids, and they all look like shit. It's gone to the point where I can't even take a photo with them and post it on my main grid because it messes up the aesthetics of my Instagram too much. With their fucking haggard faces, just drooping, wrinkly, crow's feet embedded heads, receding hairlines, just withering, graying hair coming out in clumps because of their children. Like, I did a show, and someone I went to high school with in Singapore came to the show, and after the show, I met up with them, and they brought another person with them, and I was like, oh, is this other person your mom? Thank you so much for bringing your mother to my show. And that other person was also someone I went to high school with. That's how fucking ugly these people have become because of their children. It's just unrecognizable. So I'm trying to use money and science to push the curve back a little bit. And first step of harvesting my wife's eggs is I have to inject my wife twice a day for 2 weeks. So I have to inject my wife. I am the one injecting my wife twice a day for 2 weeks. Zero medical training. I was given no medical training whatsoever. The government let you do this. The doctor asked me to do it. The doctor was like, hey, have you ever held a needle before? No? Perfect. Here, take this and inject your wife in the middle of her body like Nicolas Cage in The Rock.
He mimes jabbing his chest.
Twice a day for 2 weeks with chemicals that we mail to you. Mystery chemicals that we send to your house in unmarked brown boxes. Just trust us, that's the right thing that you're injecting into the person you love the most. Internet chemicals that show up. It comes in a powder. I have to make it into a liquid. You understand? It's a meth lab in my kitchen as I'm mixing. I'm like sweating the whole time because I'm scared I'll fuck up the measurements and kill my wife with these powerful pharmaceuticals that you have to dissolve it in like distilled water completely. Then you have to, like, the air bubbles are fucking up the micromillimeter measurements, and then you have to put it in the syringe, and then you have to flick the needle with a positive attitude like you know what you're doing.
He mimes flicking a syringe and raises his eyebrows.
I don't know what I'm doing. I saw someone do this on Doogie Howser. I don't even know the angle to put it into her. Like, it looks so painful going in. Like, I love my wife so much, I can't even bear to watch her in pain. I couldn't even bear to watch the needle go into her. I had to inject my wife like this. I had to, like, cover my eyes and, like, backhand it.
He swings his arm forcefully backwards.
Into her like Kurosawa, right?
He repeats the motion.
Did I get the middle of your body? No? Okay, just walk into the needle.
He gags with his eyes squeezed shut.
Well, I'm supposed to do all the work here? Meet me halfway. And the doctor said if you do everything right, if you
measure correctly, you inject at the right times, they like scan like this part of her body, you know, that Chicago Bulls logo, right? And they were like, if you do everything right, based on what we can tell, you should expect 15 eggs. And my wife ended up getting 26. Yeah. Always a... Yeah. Always like a late, half-hearted response to... Yeah, usually the women in the crowd are like, whoa, yeah. All the men in the crowd are always like...
Ronnie shrugs.
Is that a good number? Is 26 a good number of eggs? How many eggs equal one bebe? Is it four eggs is one bebe? So 26 eggs is 6.5 bebes if you squish it together. Let me put this in language that men can understand, okay? 26 eggs from one vagina in one cycle is MVP numbers. 26 eggs is like if Magic Johnson averaged a triple-double and cured his own AIDS. Okay? That's the level of medical miracle that's happening in whatever this part of my wife's body, that horn of the bull that like curls into itself. The doctor like scraped out 26 eggs out of my wife's vagina like salmon roe.
He scrapes downward from his hip to his crotch.
It's dripping out and you put it in some nigiri, right? And then you eat it. That's how babies are made. You gotta salt bay the eggs onto the ikuro and then you eat it. So we're trying to make embryos. So eggs, that's just half the equation. Okay, I don't know if you fucking people know how embryos are made, but eggs, that's just half of it. She did her part admirably. So now I have to contribute my half of the embryo equation. So I'm sitting in the doctor's office like a wet pigeon, right? And the doctor comes over, and the doctor's a woman, because of course she is.
He flaps his hand like a mouth.
And she's like, good morning, Mr. Chang. So when's the last time you ejaculated? And my wife is right here, and she's like, yeah, when is the last time you ejaculated? We would all like to know. And it's the one time in life where you're not allowed to lie about jerking off. It's when a medical professional is asking you a direct question. And it's for reproduction. It's for the intended purpose, so you gotta tell a truth. So I'm like, okay, whatever, I'll tell the truth. Let me check my calendar. I guess the last time I ejaculated was, let me see, yesterday around 3 p.m. And my wife is like, yesterday, I was with you all day. And I was like, yeah, but remember when you took out the trash?
Ronnie grins and flexes. He mimes shooting a basketball.
Because I also put up MVP numbers. Against a shot clock. And heavy defensive pressure. But I was thinking of you the whole time. It's really hot the way you carried out that dripping garbage bag full of fish sauce or whatever Vietnamese people eat. My wife is Vietnamese, I have no idea what the fuck she eats. Nok mum. And then I went into the room in the hospital. You go to jerk off. It's the medical jerking off room. Every hospital has a medical jerking off room. Okay? It's nondescript, not a lot of signage, smaller than you think it should be. Lots of crinkly tracing paper under your butt. And I'm sitting in a medical jerking off room by myself. And there's grown men outside the door waiting for me to finish. So they too can use the medical jerking off room that we are sharing like a WeWork. And I'm in a medical jerking off room by myself,
And I couldn't go, okay? Sorry. Sorry for not being a pervert who can just jerk off in hospitals on demand. I'm sorry. Sorry for not being a sex offender who can just jerk off as people are dying above me and below me. Sorry. Sorry the thought of someone getting defibrillated back into life in the adjoining operating theaters as they code to death painfully and their families crying in the waiting room wasn't turning me on.
He rubs his face and paces.
So I couldn't go. I couldn't go. So I just call 911, right? I'm like...
He minds making a phone call.
I'm like, these people are forcing me to medically ejaculate in a completely sterile room. I call the doctor back in. And I'm like, doc, I can't go, okay? I can't medically ejaculate under these circumstances. The vibes are off. Let me go home. Let me go home to medically ejaculate. Can I do that? And the doctor's like, yeah, you can go home, but you know, as soon as it comes out of your body, it expires quicker than avocados in Hawaii, right? You have like a 45-minute window before there's like an exponential decreasing probability of blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay, fine. All right, fine. I'll go home. I'll medically ejaculate. I'll come back in 45 minutes. No problem. So I go home, open the front door, ejaculate immediately. All right? All right? It's just home court advantage. I know where everything is. I know what's behind me. I look at a dripping garbage bag. It's like a Pavlovian response at this point. I ejaculate into a cup. Okay, it's a cup that they gave me. It's not a fucking coffee mug from my kitchen. That says like world's best dad on it.
He holds a fist in front of his crotch and bites his lip.
It's the cup that they use, doctors give you to test your pee for drugs, right? It's got like a really tight cap, right? So I ejaculate into the cup. Right? It keeps overflowing, so I gotta keep like pouring it out.
Ronnie mimes dumping out a cup and shaking cum off his hand.
Just overwhelming amounts. It's like Ghostbusters 2 up in here. I fill it to the brim, and then I just like scrape off the top, and then I seal the cap as tight as I can, right? Get really nice and tight, and then I put it inside my t-shirt, next to my skin, under my armpit, nice and snug, because the doctor told me to do that. Because apparently, like the Titanic, your body heat will keep your people alive. And then like I run downstairs and then I jump into a New York City taxi and I'm like, take me to Langone Hospital, please, hurry up. And the taxi driver is like, what the fuck are you doing with your hand? Are you okay? I'm like, oh, yeah, no, I'm fine. No, it's not me. It's my wife. It's my jizz.
He stands hunched over with his hand inside his shirt.
And New York City taxis have seen much worse. So the taxi driver was like, oh, okay, cool. Thank you for using a cup.
He mimes driving.
Unlike the last two dudes who are back there, just raw-dogging at the JFK, you know what I'm saying? And we get to the hospital, right? I open the taxi door, I run into the hospital, and because it's New York City, someone on the sidewalk is like, hey yo, were you that guy in Shang-Chi? And I'm like, yes, I was a minor character in the Marvel movie Shang-Chi, not the main guy. And the guy's like, yo, can I get a photo with you? And I'm like, okay, sure.
Ronnie mimes taking a selfie with his hand still inside his shirt.
So we take a photo like this. So somewhere on the internet has a photo of me and this stranger. And I'm doing this, like Napoleon. And if you ever come across this photo, just know I am holding my own jizz. So feel free to tag it. And he was really grateful. He was like, oh, thanks so much, man. And I was like, no problem, man. I shake his hand, right?
He takes his hand from his shirt and mimes clapping hands.
because I love meeting my fans. And then I run into the hospital, right? And it's already hitting the 45-minute mark. It's the end of the fourth quarter. There's like no time left on the clock. So I just take my jizz and I just throw a buzzer beater.
He mimes throwing.
Right? The doctor like catches my jizz. Like.
He mimes a leaping catch.
Like Odell Beckham, she just like one hand grabs it. And like in the same motion, without even putting it down, she like alley-oops my jizz into my wife's eggs, right? She just takes it and she just goes, boom shakalaka. And my sperm goes into my wife's eggs, and then nobody knows what happens when sperm goes into egg. Nobody knows, it's a mystery. It's a mystery of the universe. Nobody knows, when sperm goes into egg, it's unknowable. Ooh, it's like the event horizon on the black hole. No one can know what happens. When sperm goes into egg, sometimes nothing happens. When sperm goes into egg, sometimes it becomes bubble tea. Nobody knows where bubble tea comes from.
He makes air quotes.
It's tapioca. Then sperm goes into the egg, and then you shake it, then you go to Vegas, you throw on the crap table, and if you're lucky, if you get a good dice roll, right, it becomes blastocyst. That's what we call future humans, blastocyst. It becomes embryos. And the doctor, she'll take all the embryos, and she'll look at them under the microscope, and she'll grade the embryos, like cocaine. She'll be like, oh, woo, yeah, these ones, yeah, these are A-grade embryos right here, yeah. These ones, these are B-grade embryos, so I don't know, you know.
Ronnie mimes rubbing coke on his teeth.
These ones are C-grade embryos. Oh, and these ones, yeah, these are D-grade embryos. Yeah, these will storm the Capitol someday, all right? So
he mimes throwing.
You don't want that. And then, you have to like draft pick your kids based on scouting reports and analytics. And you don't know, you're just projecting data, right? You just hope you're not throwing away a Tom Brady in the 12th round that's gonna overcome the odds and become the greatest of all time because you can't measure the human spirit. And we all like to think we're good people in this room. But we're all picking the A-grade embryos, okay? No one here is not picking your A-grade embryos if given a choice. Even if you were a B-grade embryo.
He points to himself.
You would still pick your A-grade embryos. Because you'd be like, I know what it's like. I'm not putting my kids through this B-grade human existence with sweaty palms and sciatica. Give me the A-grade shit. Give me the best we could do. Give my kid a fighting chance. And it got me thinking about the future a little bit because I never wanted kids. I never thought I would have kids. The only thing I ever wanted to do my whole life was this. Stand-up comedy in America. It's the best. Look at this. It's the best. You guys are cheering because you know this is way better than having kids. So much more fun and lucrative. But the blastocysts are real now. There's like 8 of them waiting for me in the cloud. 33% chance of successful implantation with grade A embryos, so I guess that makes me a mass murderer in Alabama. But it got me thinking about the future, like what kind of parent am I gonna be? Am I gonna be the same kind of parent my parents were? Or am I gonna be better than my parents were? Be more emotionally supportive or whatever the fuck you're supposed to be now. And just thinking about it. Turns out I'm just gonna be just as bad as my parents were, all right? I can feel it. I can feel it inside me. I can feel the Chinese inside me. I can just feel that. I can feel that high expectation, just low tolerance for excuses. It's right in here. It's like the default app. You know, you can't delete the calculator app. There's no X. When you shake it, there's no X. You can move it off the home screen, but it's still in the OS embedded in the operating system. I can feel the Chinese. Like if my blastocyst was real, if it entered this reality, and it turned out to be the cutest blastocyst ever, and I was like, oh my God, look at his blastocyst. Everybody, look.
look at how beautiful this Blastus is. Oh my God, I love you so much, Blastus. I love you much more than I thought I would.
And your Blastus is hugging you back, right? And they're like,
I love you too, Daddy. Daddy. When I grow up, I want to be a stand-up comedian. Just like you.
Ronnie holds up his arms as if as a child. He frowns and mimes holding a kid.
You just feel the Chinese coming on, right?
He pretends to set the child down and touches his temple with a trembling hand.
You take your glasses off like Hitler in the bunker.
He wiggles his fingers in front of his face. His whole body quivers. He presses his fingers to his eyes.
Stand-up comedy? Are you out of your fucking mind? That's not even a real job. Like, what do you think is gonna happen? You're just gonna run around America and tell jokes to strangers who don't give a fuck about your mental health?
He mimes grabbing the child.
And even if you do somehow manage to overcome the odds and make it to even a semi-professional level as a stand-up comedian, do you think there's any chance in hell you'd be funnier than me?
He clenches his fists and grits his teeth.
Daddy's a borderline arena act in some markets. Have you seen my IMDb page? I'm in everything. I will fucking crush your career.
He makes a throwing motion.
Fugari, your mother and I didn't spend a fortune to make an A-grade Blastus for them to become a B-grade comedian. I will never watch anything you do. Go to law school.
Ronnie takes the glass off the stool and sips water. He keeps the glass in his hand, frowning.
It's what my father said to me.
His hand trembles, jostling the water. He twitches. He sets down the glass.
I do think it's tough for straight men in 2024 to sincerely look up self-improvement on the internet without 5 weeks later storming the Capitol, okay? That men's self-help YouTube algorithm is very unkind to straight men right now, okay? I'm not saying it's the biggest problem in the world, clearly, but it is a problem, okay? Because men were genetically predisposed to seek self-improvement, okay? We're trying to be better people every day. Believe it or not, women, once we hit a certain age, okay? Usually we die before then. Through suicide or environmental factors, BMX biking, dietary choices. But if you can live long enough as a man, you hit this age where suddenly you become very introspective, okay? You start seeking guidance from outside sources. You start looking at watches. Like every man in this room has or will at some point. We've all been there. Guys, we've all done this. We've all looked in the mirror at some point in our lives and we've been like, what a fucking piece of shit. I fucking hate this loser. Look at this loser. Fuck this loser. I hate this person. I need to be a better person. Let me start by getting fit. Let me work on my health. That seems like a logical place to start my journey. Let me control what I can control in here. So what do you do as a man? You go on YouTube, right? You look up how to lift weights, right? You press enter, you click on the first video. There's some guy doing kettlebell swings, right?
He swings his arm wildly up and down.
He's teaching you how to lock your core so you don't break your fucking spine. And then you do that for 2 days.
He continues the motion, then flexes.
You feel pretty good about yourself, right? And then on the third day, the same YouTube channel has a new video notification alert. And the men are like, oh my God, what's this new video from kettlebell swinging guy? What could he be doing in his new video? And in the video, the kettlebell swinging guy, he's like doing a new kettlebell exercise. The lawnmower. Right, he's doing that. And then like 30 seconds into the video, he just like, suddenly he just stops and he looks really sad. and he puts the kettlebell down, and he looks straight into the camera, and he's like, yo, guys, just real talk for a second, all right? Kettlebells are great, but I just want you guys to know that a healthy body starts with a healthy mind.
He crosses his arms and pouts.
And all the men watching this are like, yeah, yeah, that makes sense. That feels right in here.
He taps his chest.
Tell me more, kettlebell swinging guy. What other advice do you have for all areas of my life, including my relationships and financial investments? Please give me guidance, kettlebell swinging guy. And so what do? You watch his next video on autoplay, then you watch his next video, then here comes the YouTube algorithm with a suggested video, then here comes another suggested video, and then a week later, Jordan Peterson's telling you that women use makeup to control men. And then 5 weeks later, you're storming the Capitol dressed like a buffalo. That's a very realistic sequence of events, by the way. That's not even an exaggerated timeline. Like, every man in this room has lost a buddy to the algorithm. We all know someone who lost their fucking mind on that men's self-help Andrew Tate masculinity YouTube self-help algorithm. If you don't know anyone who lost their mind...
Ronnie points to the audience.
You're the one who lost their mind. You're currently in an echo chamber of assholes because real friends will tell you when you're losing your mind. It's very tragic, all these men who are trying to be better people and they're seeking guidance, but that YouTube feedback algorithm loop just leads them to be the worst version of themselves. There's tragedy in that. Like all those people, they were just trying to lift weights. They weren't trying to cause an insurrection. They didn't even know what that word meant. They were just trying to do this.
He mimes bench pressing.
They're trying to do this. They didn't know what angle their forearm was supposed to be vis-a-vis their torso, right? Is it 90 degrees or 45 degrees? Or is that a different exercise? Or is that the same reps when you... They Googled it one time, and then 5 weeks later, you're taking a shit on Nancy Pelosi's desk. And the US Marshals are garnishing your wages. Because you know you take one wrong turn and life moves pretty quick. I'm not saying as a man don't take responsibility for your own actions, okay? I'm just saying that YouTube algorithm is very alluring to straight guys. It sucks men in a way that I don't think women understand. Like it really preys on that men's need to seek guidance from somewhere. It's very hard to resist. It just draws you in. That's why fucking Mark Zuckerberg is trying to MMA fight Elon Musk right now. That guy fell for his own algorithm. Do you understand? Mark Zuckerberg was just some fucking nerd. For like 20 years now, he's just been looking at our data, right? Just jerking off. Every single day, just look at our data. Just jerking off, money piling up. Billions of dollars, just data jerking off, money. Money jerking off data. For 20 years, that loop. And who knew? Who knew after 2 decades of that? One day he just looked at so much data, he was like, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. He fell into it and now he's trying to MMA fight Elon Musk. That guy jerked off and came on his own face. Like it's out of control. Zuckerberg is a billionaire who has every material need you could want in this reality. And he invented that shit and he still fell for it. What hope does the average man in America have? Just waddling down the street, looking for a taco on his phone. He's gonna get sucked into his phone. He has no chance. That fucking guy has no chance. Because even the good guys in this room.
He points around, then holds his hand upright.
We're like on a razor's edge to being a piece of shit, okay? That margin between a good guy and a piece of shit is razor thin. I gotta tell you, if you have the means, every day it's just a battle to stay on that knife's edge. And you know what? An Instagram post could push it either way. Okay, depends on the post. Was it cute animals or was it boobs?
That's going to determine your integrity for the next 6 hours.
Ronnie rubs his face. He takes another sip of water.
I do think as a society we need to do a better job of identifying, like, when we have a disagreement with someone, who's genuinely trying to have a good faith discussion to reach higher understanding, and who's just talking shit. And it's like, we're spending too much time on the people who are just talking shit, and we're not spending enough time on the people who are genuinely trying to have difficult conversations about difficult topics. Like, for example, me, right now, I'm just talking shit, okay? This is one-way shit talking. I don't care about any of your opinions. Do not send me any of them. I do not care. You paid for me. I didn't pay a cent for any of you, okay? Free market capitalism has determined the direction of this shit-talking session. If you don't like it, take it off Adam Smith. But if I was having a conversation with someone I disagree with in good faith, I would probably start that conversation with what we do agree with. Right? That would be a logical place to start a difficult conversation. For example, MAGA, Make America Great Again. They have a point. America is not doing so great right now. Right? Our kids' math scores are down. Our children's science scores are down. When judged according to international metrics, healthcare system's not doing so great. Wealth gap disparities increasing exponentially. There was an implied promise to a generation of Americans that if you do certain things, work hard, go to college, be a good person, you would have certain outcomes. And those outcomes didn't materialize for majority of people because baby boomers entrenched in decision-making positions lowered the capital gains tax so that their net worth essentially compounds year after year. And post-World War II, U.S. leadership traded the domestic manufacturing industry for national security by making the U.S. dollar the default international trade currency, which gave America the ability to impose economic sanctions on foreign countries through a U.S. financial banking system, but consequently increased the value of the U.S. dollar astronomically, which made it impossible for anyone to manufacture anything in America. Although the logic at the time was that Americans were supposed to upskill en masse away from the menial manufacturing jobs. But everyone here is too much of a dumbass to stay in school, so we just traded domestic manufacturing to Asia and the rest of the world at the expense of working class families. But if you don't read enough, it comes out as, "Let's go, Brandon!" And it's like you have a point, but you don't have the vocabulary to describe your reality. Because you didn't read enough. You gotta keep reading beyond the hashtag. There's a book behind the word. You gotta keep going. You can go at your own pace, but you gotta finish the required reading. Otherwise, we can't have a conversation. It's just, we're all catching up to each other. I'm friends with MAGA. I'm friends with the MAGA. Some of them are my good friends. Yeah. Hawaii MAGA. The friendliest of all MAGA. Aloha, MAGA. They're in Hawaii right now, making Aloha great again. I became friends with them because I filmed 2 seasons of a TV show in Hawaii, Duke Kamealoha on Disney Plus. MAGA Hawaii welcomed me into their homes. They're like, "Ronnie, please come over. Please go. We're having a barbecue. We love you to meet the family, meet the Ohana. Please, we love to have you over." So gracious. You show up at their house, they're so warm and welcoming. They're like, "Ron, thanks for coming, man. Here, take whatever you want. There's some kalua pork, there's some locomocos, there's some hot dogs. Hey, here, touch my gun."
He mimes taking a gun out of his waistband.
"Touch it, just take it." I'm always like, I don't want to touch any of these guns, okay? I don't know where they've been, I don't know where they're going. I don't have time in my schedule to attend depositions. Just give me the locomoco. Very, very passionate people, my MAGA friends. And I respect their passion to some extent. I do. They're like, "Man, Ronnie, I love America. I would die for this country." And I believe them. I believe they love America. And I believe they would die for this country, which is very admirable. But it's like, "Man, you're willing to die for your country. Why aren't you willing to learn math?" Also for your country. Like, do both for your country. Because I know you want to die for your country, but we're losing the engineering jobs to Asia right now. So we need less people to die for the country. You need more people to do their homework for the country. Like, do your homework for your country. Like, actually sit down and show the working and, like, do the... That's a more efficient way to show your patriotism. Like, I know you, if you take that I want to die energy and you put it into homework, you will fucking top the school. I'm telling you, it's... sky's the limit. You'll solve a lot of problems, you'll create a lot of jobs, you'll increase the GDP, okay? Just, like, do your homework for your country. I'd rather die!
I thought that might be the case. Dying's easy, math is hard. These quadratic equations making me suicidal. We try not to talk about politics, my MAGA friends and I, out of mutual respect. Right? Inevitably, it comes up. Some stuff I'm wrong about, some stuff they're right about. But sometimes, like, the messaging is so convoluted. Like, I can't get to what their core issue actually is because their surface messaging is so chaotic. Like, sometimes they're like, Ronnie, China caused COVID. But COVID isn't real. So is it fine then? Does it mean it's fine? I don't know how to feel about it now. Because 1 minus 1 is 0. I don't know what to tell you. The math analogy works for concepts, not just numbers. You can... X is anything. Also, why are you yelling at me about China? You're always, like, yelling at me about China. You know China's doing this? You know China did a weather balloon with a camera? You know China's got an artificial island in the Pacific that's doubling as aircraft carrier base? You know China's doing TikTok? Why is China doing TikTok? I don't know. I'm not from China. I'm from Malaysia. I'm from Malaysia, not China. I'm third generation Chinese Malaysian. Malaysia. You know Michelle Yeoh, Oscar winner, Malaysia? Yeah, it's Malaysia. Sama-sama, Malaysia. Saya anak Malaysia. Malaysia. Malaysia, not China, Malaysia. We're the ones who lost the plane. You guys remember that? You see the documentary on Netflix? Suggested after my special? You guys see that? That was us. That was us. We're the lose the plane people, okay? We're not the human rights, whatever. I don't know, TikTok people. I don't know what that is, okay?
He moves his hand like an airplane.
Where is it? Where the fuck is it? That's us. My MAGA friends all hate U.S. tax. That's like a universal party platform. There's like different types of MAGA, right? There's like MAGA light, MAGA concentrated, but like, right? It's unfair to group them under one banner, but one uniting party principle is love America, fuck U.S. tax. And I get it. I also hate U.S. tax now that I'm in the highest bracket. Yeah, I'm MAGA with that. Fuck U.S. tax. Yeah, fuck American tax. Feels good to say it. Like the words give you power, right? Fuck U.S. tax. Fuck American tax. You like it? You like it when I say it? You like it when this fucking foreigner says it? You like that? Fuck U.S. tax. You like that? You like it when this accent says that? Fuck American tax. You like that? You don't see a discrepancy in energy? Love America. USA, USA. Fuck U.S. tax. Like, put politics aside for just 3 seconds, okay? If it's even possible, just for 3 seconds, just consider this concept in a vacuum, just as an academic exercise, okay? When you love something, you give it money. Right? Like, that's one of the primary ways we show love for individuals, organizations, ideas on Kickstarter, sports teams. We go like, yeah, we give it money. So when you go, love America, USA, USA, fuck US tax. So what are you saying? Like, you love America so much you want it to be poor? You want your country to be poor. You want your country to be a beggar on the street, like a street beggar. You want your country to be a street beggar on the street? I love my mom. Sometimes I give my mom money. You give your mom money sometimes. Look how alien this concept is to white people.
Just silence. Give your mom money sometimes.
For what?
Because she's your mom. And you love her, right? And she loves you back, so you fucking cut her off a piece every once in a while. She probably tore stuff giving birth to you. You just cut her a piece of the pie. Arbitrarily, even. Just give her. I'm sure your mother would appreciate it. No matter who your mom is, no matter how self-accomplished she is, I'm sure your mom could use it, fix a driveway, invest in infrastructure, something. Like, sometimes Americans treat their country the way they treat their parents. Yeah. I love my mom. I love my mom. I would die for my mom. But fuck her, she made her choices. I love being in America. I do. I love being here. I had my options. Came here. I love being in America because this is the country that puts show business above everything. And I am in the business of show business. So naturally, I'm going to come here and do it. I do this in America. Fuck America. Fuck the president. Fuck U.S. tax. Fuck money. Money just comes into... Fuck the president. It's too old. Fuck this president. The money comes in. Money just comes in. Like printing money. I do this in Malaysia. Same words, same clothing, same haircut, facing the same direction. In Malaysia, jail. Like the arbitrage value is out of control. The same product in different locations. Obviously, I'm going to do this here. Why the fuck would I do this anywhere else? It's the best.
Ronnie grins and rubs his chin.
I think sometimes people forget that I'm a first-generation immigrant here. Like, because my second generation or later American friends, like, their parents were immigrants. And the way they talk about their parents is so disrespectful. And they forget, like, I'm also an immigrant. They'll be like, all right, you know my parents? They're immigrants. Oh, you know immigrants. They're so cheap. They'll be like, all right, don't come over. My family's over this weekend. My parents are here. You know, my parents are immigrants. You know immigrants. Ugh. So cheap. So, yo, I want to defend immigrants here for a second, all right? Fuck that shit. Yeah, my mom lives in Singapore. She is not an immigrant. She is still extremely cheap. Okay, being cheap is not an immigrant thing. It's genetic. Cheap people are cheap. They're not choosing to be cheap. It's just inside. It's not a choice. Chinese baby boomers are cheap because they don't know how to have fun. They haven't had fun in like 50 years. They like forgot the energy of fun. Like of all the Asians right now in the Asian fun hierarchy, from most fun to least fun, Chinese baby boomers, least fun of all the Asians right now. I can say this, I'm Chinese, okay? You don't fucking say it. This is our N-word, okay? You don't fucking say it, I'll say it. You don't fucking say it. Least fun, don't fucking say it. Least fun of all the Asians, Chinese baby boomers. Right now, of all the Asians, most fun Asians, the Koreans. Okay, you gotta give up the Koreans.
He tilts his head back and sticks out his tongue.
You gotta give it up to the Koreans. You gotta tip your cap and respect the back-to-back championships of the modern-day Koreans, just killing it with the fun and the pop culture. They just, everyone's, they got Blackpink, they got music, they got BTS. Dude, BTS is right now in the army fighting Kim Jong-un. Do you understand? BTS is at the DMZ right now, just going to...
He dances and twirls. He mimes shooting a gun.
Just unstoppable force of entertainment. Taking down countries and dictatorships. They got... Koreans got Parasite movie. It's Oscar winning. They got Past Lives. They got Crash Landing on You. Just dominating the Netflix homepage of white people. Never thought I'd see the day when white people's homepage is full of K-drama, just binging. Non-stop. They got Squid Game. Dude, Koreans have more fun dying in Squid Game than Chinese people have at comedy shows. Chinese people at comedy shows just sitting there like looking at their phone. Do I have to look up? Oh, wait, he's here? Okay, I'm gonna video for 6 minutes.
He holds up his hand.
Full flash video. This is how I live in the moment as a Chinese person. Koreans, most fun. Filipinos know how to have fun. Yeah, they love having fun. Vietnamese people not have fun. Cambodians not have fun. Hmong people not have fun. Even Japanese people know how to have fun in a reserved way. Outwardly stoic. Inside, just anime. Outside, unreadable. Inside, just the intro to Sailor Moon, right?
He taps his face repeatedly.
Outside, it's just like, oh, Ohayou gozaimasu.
He bows with a slight frown.
Japanese people have so much fun, sometimes they just go straight back to work. They don't... You're gonna change your suit, you're just gonna go straight into the office? All right, man. everyone knows how to fun, but Chinese baby boomers, least fun of all the Asians. Because for Chinese baby boomers, the primary directive in life is do not get scammed. That's like the overriding directive that informs the entire decision-making tree. So Robocop, primary directive. Do not get scammed. Do not arrest OCP executive. Do not get scammed. And for Chinese baby boomers, there's no value proposition. Okay, it's just pure price sensitivity. That means any money outgoing is a scam. If money leaves my possession, that was a scam. And so the whole time, they're just tensed up, just looking for scams. When they go out, they're just like, they can't even relax. They're like, what's the scam? Scam is coming. It's coming. It's going to be a 2-drink minimum over here. This parking guy's going to tip. It's going to start tensing up. Meanwhile, like Koreans in the back just having fun.
Ronnie jumps up and down with his hand raised.
Like Filipinos, like Chinese baby boomers just tensed up the whole time. The further they get from their house, as distance X increases, they know the fees will increase, and so the expenditures are gonna increase, so they keep tensing up like the further they get until eventually like their whole body tenses up into like a C, right? Like a C for Chinese.
He stands hunched over with his toes off the floor.
And then you're in the back, you're like, go, go, have fun, have fun!
He mimes pushing.
Just refuse to have fun. Like my mom can't even visit me in New York City. Her only son, she can't even come to New York City. Because New York City is the kind of city where as soon as you open your front door, it's like $1.50. Like if you touch your doorknob, it's like Apple Pay, $1.50. Just goes in, goes into the universe. So my mom can't even approach the front door in New York. She's like in the back of the apartment, just like, okay, I'm good. I don't need to leave the house today. My mom isn't even scared of Asian hate. She's more scared of inflation. Like she can't believe the prices of things anymore. Right, you take her out to Central Park. Like, Mom, let's go to Central Park. It's free. It's free. Look, look at how beautiful New York is in autumn. Look at this. Why are these hot dogs $5? It's like, no, this, that price is right. No one is scamming you. That's the correct amount of money to pay for that. You haven't been out of the house in 50 years. That number, number is correct. No one's scamming you, okay? That's how much things cost after baby boomers destroyed the global financial economy in 2010. Pursuing subprime mortgages, okay? That's correct. No, if anything, you scammed yourself with that one. That's you scamming yourself. Yeah, you played yourself, DJ Khaled. I remember my mom came to visit me in Hawaii, her first time in Hawaii. And if you know Hawaii and the locals and the Hawaiians here, the least scammy culture on the planet. Could not be more generous as a community. You get so much more than you give when you're on the islands of Hawaii. And my mom comes and she lands and she gets to the hotel and they welcome her. They're like, aloha, welcome to Hawaii. And they put a lei over her, like a ring of flowers, and they put it over her. And my mom does this.
He bobs and weaves, then mimes throwing a lei off his neck.
I'm not paying for that. I'm like, you can't do that. Mom, they're not trying to trick you into buying something. They're trying to welcome you to the homeland, okay? They're not trying to trick you into buying this just because you touched it, okay? This isn't Thailand, all right? Just put on... put on the leg. You're embarrassing me in front of the Hawaiians.
Ronnie bows and makes the shaka hand sign.
Mahalo.
He grins and sips water.
Yeah.
These Chinese baby boomers, most scared of being scammed in real life, the first to get scammed on the internet. For people who live in fear their entire lives, extremely gullible. Because these baby boomers, they don't have the antibodies to deal with the internet. Completely clueless when they go on now. Like watching baby boomers go on the internet now, it's like watching babies wandering into the kitchen by themselves.
He waves his arm and sticks out his tongue.
Just looking for cookies on the kitchen countertop, just like running their hands blindly on the kitchen countertop, pulling down knives, kitchen knives coming straight down into the eyeball, into like the soft part of their skull. Right? They go into the kitchen, they open the oven, they turn it on, they stick their head inside. They're like, any pictures of my grandkids in here? Is this link safe to click on? Is this link safe to click on? Is this link safe to click on? Just falling for every basic bitch internet scam possible. These fucking baby boomers tumbling into internet scams like pandas rolling down a hill. Just jujitsu rolling into scams every single day. Loving scams. Oh, what do you want, 20 Target gift cards? Yeah, that sounds like a legitimate way to pay for antivirus software on my phone. Everybody, look at this link. Look, what's the one trick your doctor doesn't want you to know? Okay, I'm gonna click on that link. I knew it. I knew my doctor was scamming me. That was a trick he didn't want me to know. I'm gonna invalidate his medical degree with one click. Right. This is not the scam. My doctor is the scam. Let me click on this. These fucking internet idiot savants who can't remember a single goddamn password, but for some reason can make any piece of misinformation go viral, like the Russian cyber army, just spreading misinformation around the world in family group WhatsApp chats. Everywhere, just going, everybody look at this article. Is this real? Look at it, is this real? That's how they fact check, they spread it. They go, hey, look at this, is this a real, everybody weigh in. I'm not saying a hair dryer in your mouth will kill COVID. Okay, but what, you can't ask questions anymore? Look at this article from CNN.ru. Quick, send to your uncle, send to your kaofu, send to your whole family tree. Everybody needs to see this. Has there been a dumber generation of idiots? More susceptible to fake news than these fucking baby boomers, literally believing everything they see on the internet. I get the very reasonable argument that every generation of human is gonna be naturally a little bit smarter than the last due to the exponential technology growth curve, okay? But this has got to be the biggest gap in human history. The information asymmetry right now is just out of control. You literally have people in Honolulu right now auto-driving their Tesla Cybertrucks as they vape out the window and their phone AI is trading cryptocurrency. Meanwhile, you have baby boomers, they can't even right-click.
He mimes using a mouse.
They can't even right-click. It's one button. How do you right-click on one button? It's scary. They don't know what's real anymore. Like, Ronnie, look at this photo of Bigfoot shopping at Whole Foods. Bigfoot is real now. Look, there's an image of him buying kombucha at Whole Foods. What technology exists that can fake images? I'm like, Mom, that's not real. Stop sending it around, it's not real. How do you know? They always get so indignant about it. They're like, how do you know that it's not real? How did you know that? Because the font is off and the resolution of the image is blurry and that lighting state doesn't even make sense for that image and that's not standard dimensions for a news article, okay? I can't give you this knowledge. It's like Malcolm Gladwell, blink. I've just seen so much shit on the internet. My brain instantly filters it. You'll never have this skill set. So just stay off the internet. This world is not for you anymore. Stop making decisions.
Ronnie steps over to the stool. He grabs the water glass and takes a sip.
But anyway, respect your elders. It's a confusion value. Maybe if you give your mom some money, she wouldn't get scammed so much. Is that, yeah,
Think about the correlation between those two phenomena.
He takes another sip, then sets down the glass.
People always ask me, like, why'd you shit on your mom for money? Why don't you shit on your dad for money? All right. No, I don't talk about my dad because my dad has no context for show business. Like, we grew up in Malaysia, like, his family's like rubber tappers in Malaysia. Like, my aunts and uncles are still in Sitiel Wan in Malaysia right now, like, tapping rubber. So they have no context for show business. Very smart people, but they just don't know this world. Like, my dad, actually, he was the first guy in his family to get a college education. He went to Manchester College, which has since merged with the University of Southern New Hampshire, and he got his Master's of Economics there, put himself through it. Very smart guy. And he was a good immigrant. He came to America, to New Hampshire, to get his education. And when he graduated, he went back to Malaysia. He didn't take anyone's job. He left. And my dad had the vision to see what I didn't see. Like, he knew he had a ceiling on him because of the way he thinks and the way he talks. And he went back to Malaysia. And he was right for him. He went back to Malaysia, and it was the right choice for him. He became a very successful corporate executive. He retired to a farm in Johor Bahru, Malaysia. Loved farming. He retired to a farm. That's how much this guy loved it. But he had no context for show business. So he wouldn't understand anything I'm doing. Like, he wouldn't understand what I'm doing in, like, Godzilla versus Kong. He'd be like, why don't you just run that way? And I'd be like, Dad, I don't control the edit, okay? I'm just Honolulu Chinatown shopkeeper number 3 in this... in this epic clash of titans between the giant lizard and the giant gorilla, okay? I'm just connecting Act 1 to Act 2. I don't have a say in how this plays out. And because of that, like, I stopped telling him about what I was doing because I felt like he wouldn't get it, and he stopped asking me. And so, like, I didn't even tell him I got hired on The Daily Show. He found out the way all parents find out about their kids' accolades is through a local newspaper. Right. So one day, the local paper reported that I got hired on The Daily Show, and he called me immediately, and he was like, yo, Ryan, what's this I hear about you joining The Everyday Show? And I was like, oh, no, it's The Daily Show. It's The Daily Show. And that was, I joined like 2 years ago. That, and he was like, oh, okay, well, what's The Daily Show? And I'm like, oh, it's just like another late night American talk show. You know, they kind of invented modern American satire. And my dad was like, oh, that's cool. Are you the host? And I'm like, no, I'm a correspondent. And he was like, what is that? What's a correspondent? And I'm like, a correspondent is, I help the host with comedy segments. And he was like, oh, okay. Hey, man, he's just a sidekick. And so he had, like, no context for what was a win, what was a milestone in this industry. And so I stopped telling him, and he stopped asking me. And I didn't need that from him. We were totally fine. We would talk about other stuff. We just want to talk about work, right? We weren't fighting. It was all good. And he passed away very suddenly in 2018. He died on Christmas Eve, died on his farm, like no warning, no explanation. He just left one day. He left so suddenly that we had to go back to handle his estate. And if anyone here has been so unfortunate to be in that position, when you have to handle someone else's estate, it means that they left so abruptly that other people have to come in and close the administrative loops in their life. And so it's me, my wife, my sister, my brother-in-law. We went back to Johor Bahru, and part of me trying to figure out his estate was I had to hack into his laptop just to figure out what banks he was using. So his laptop was right on the kitchen table, right where he left it. And I open it up, and it's password protected. And I know this guy so well. I'm like, his password is going to be the birthday of his favorite child. So I type in my sister's birthday, and spot on. Spot on, it was my sister's birthday. As it should be. She's like an anesthesiologist in Australia. She's like way more respectable person than me, actually saving lives, like a good person contributing back to society, not like this fucking asshole. I get in trouble on the internet for shit I say like 2 years ago, every 6 weeks. So it should be her. She should be the favorite. So I log into his computer, I open his web browser, I look at his browsing history. And the whole time I'm looking at his browsing history, I'm like, please don't let me find my dad's porn. Please don't let me find what positions my dad was into. Even if it was just missionary, I wouldn't be able to handle it. I'm gonna have to burn this laptop. And for real Chinese people, when we burn things, it goes to our ancestors, and then my granddad's gonna see it, and it's like, I don't want that for them, okay? I'll be fine, but then they're gonna have an awkward time, and I'm considerate like that. And so I open the web browser, I look at his history, and way to go, Dad, no porn.
What a clean-cut guy, no porn. He only went on the internet twice a day, like clockwork, 6 a.m. and 6 p.m., like the farmer that he was. And every time he went on the internet, he only go to two websites each time. So the first website he'll go to was the local news website, and the second website he'll go to twice a day, every single day, was my Twitter page. So it turns out he would be reloading my Twitter page twice a day just to see what I was doing. And I post stuff like, hey, Honolulu, Hawaii, I sold out 5 shows this week. Why are there so many homeless people here? You know, I post stuff like that. And he would read that, and then I assume he would be like, oh, Ryan's doing okay. He's in Hawaii, he sold out some shows, and oh, I guess there's a lot of homeless people in Hawaii. I guess, anyway. That was his quiet way of keeping up with me. And he never told me that, and I never knew that, and we never discussed it, which is a very nice sentiment. Unfortunately, as best as I can tell, this is the last tweet my dad read of mine.
A tweet from Ronnie appears on a screen at the back of the stage. It reads, if you're a baby boomer on Twitter, I already know you're a fucking loser. Ronnie nods, his eyes downcast.
So as best as I can tell, forensically, based on internet browsing timestamps, the last tweet my dad read of mine, and quite possibly the last thing he ever read before he died on his farm, was me posting on Twitter, if you're a baby boomer on Twitter, I already know you're a fucking a loser.
He presses his lips together, then grimaces.
Now, obviously, this was not directed towards him. I didn't even know he had Twitter. I didn't even know he knew what Twitter was. But I stand by this statement. And I know that's kind of a weird way to end the show, but... if it's any solace, this was his phone when he died.
The screen displays a photo of Ronnie and the dark-haired woman.
That was his wallpaper and his screensaver. And I didn't even know. And it's a photo of me and my wife, and we're in Hawaii. And I'm wearing 2 leis, because my mom threw one off and I put it on. And I didn't know that this was his screensaver and his wallpaper. And
Ronnie moves the mic stand back to center stage. He puts the lei back around his neck.
I like to think that that is the last image he saw of me. That's what he remembered me by when he left. And I also like to tell my sister, I won. I won. It was me. It was me. You guys have been great. Thanks for coming out. Honolulu.
He puts the mic back on the stand and waves to the audience. Audience members get to their feet. He bows and smiles. He leaves the stage. The scene goes black. Audio description provided by International Digital Center. Written by Dakota Green. Voiced by Cherie Bitte. Credits play beside a series of photos of Ronnie's shows and him with his family members. Written and performed by Ronnie Chang. Directed by Cameron Barnett. Executive producers Ronnie Chang, Hannah Pham, Mike Bertolina, Jordan Elner, Bill Burr, Al Madrigal, Joel Zadak. Produced by Matt Schuler. Line producer, Don Caniaupio. Director of Photography, Cameron Barnett, ACS. Lighting and production design, Mike Baldessari. Sound recordist, John Duva. Edited by Guy Harding, ACE. Post producer, Aaron Champion. Credits continue. Copyright. Copyright 2024, Netflix. Logo, all things comedy.
A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.